This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Improve your health and well-being the natural way with The Medicine Man, next on Plains FM.
We'll drink a drink a drink to Lily the Pink.
This is Mike McKimmon, Medicine Man. I'm on Plains FM, and we're going to be talking about what happens when you get a diagnosis of something really serious, you know, really mind-splittingly serious. That, for example, you've maybe had a diagnosis of cancer, and it's rocked the boat, one could say. So what are we going to do about it? What would you like to do about it? What are your choices? Do you have choices? Well, let's see. After this little song, we'll come back to you soon. Well, so we're going to be talking about when you get diagnosed with something really serious, and there might be someone out there, maybe you're there and you've just had a very nasty diagnosis. You may have a diagnosis of breast cancer if you're a woman, or endometriosis, but let's just look at the real big C, shall we, is cancer. It's devastating Western civilization, and we've talked a little bit about the type of chemicals and that we're assaulted with today and the different types of stresses. And cancer is really on the up. So what we need to do is to figure out do you actually have a choice? Okay, you've been diagnosed with cancer, so what is it? Are you going to go the mainstream way? It's going to have cut, burn, and poison. And I don't really mean to put a negative on that, because chemotherapy and radiation has its place. But I'm saying that there are other choices, and there's even something we call complementary medicine, where you can actually use the best of both worlds. And as you know, I tend to be in the old world, which is using plants and nature to heal. But of course, when I say the old world, I'm using nature as the finest pharmacist you'll ever have. So what happens when you get that diagnosis? The most important thing to do, if you've had that diagnosis, is focus on the parts of your body that are actually working well. Because even though you've had this diagnosis, you're still breathing. You may hopefully still be walking around. And there's a whole lot of things that are working well in your body. Your liver is detoxing, your bloodstream's moving, you know, your respiration's working well, your immunity is obviously compromised with the cancer, but you've got friends and family around you. Things are working well in parts of your life. So it's not like your whole life has gone down the tube, you know. And so the important thing is to look first and foremost at what is working in your life. I think it's a mistake to focus too much on the dreaded cancer itself. I'm not saying you ignore it or deny that it's happening. But first of all, take stock of what's around you. Focus on the parts of your body that are working well and not on the cancer. So have an attitude of gratitude for what you do have. And of course, if you're breathing this life now, there's opportunities around you despite your diagnosis. Now, let's face it, every one of us are going to die, right? And some sooner than others. But this diagnosis of cancer doesn't necessarily mean your death is going to be premature, because I do believe you do have choices. But to get into terms, get to terms with the fact that we're all going to die. You know, the Egyptians were obsessed with death, you know. But when you look at the paintings on the tombs, they're full of joy, you know. They must have had a great deal of fun. Boy, they love their beer, you know. They love food and they love dancing. And so even though one can argue the Egyptians were obsessed with death, they were obsessed with life. Those beautiful paintings in their tombs. And what a fun bunch of people they must have been. So, look at what is working in your life. But don't deny what's really going on. So the important thing is to take stock. Have a look around you, what you do have. That's really most important thing. Look at some friendships, you know, and bring yourself to the present. There's nothing like a nasty diagnosis or a shock diagnosis to bring you right into reality. But reality doesn't have to be all bad. So be here now. Just really take stock and look around you and see what you have there. See what you have. And, you know, we've all come down here, I believe, for a purpose. you know, and you've got a mission too, and the mission's not over yet. It really isn't. So value your mission and cherish your friends, because you're going to find out who your friends are now. And don't forget to savour the, you know, the sunsets and the sunrises. Don't forget to smell the flowers and soak up as much beauty of music and laughter. You know, laughter creates tremendous endorphins, serotonin. It creates happy chemistry, and the happy chemistry actually feeds your white blood cells, the T lymphocytes, that actually fight cancer. So even joy and happiness is all part of your weapons against this scourge, you could say. And be at peace as much as you can. Listen to really nice music and do your best to be enthusiastic with what you do have, whether it's a short time or a long time, or you've just got that big question mark. Just live in the now, right now. Be as enthusiastic as you can about everything you do from this moment on, from this very second on. Now remember, enthusiasm comes from the Greek, and it means the God in me. And when you're faced with such a diagnosis, you start thinking a lot more about not what you own. You think about what life is actually about. And I think it's a lot to do with friends, family, a lot to do with other people in your life and the gifts that you've also been able to bring with you. And you're going to go away with some gifts too. And life doesn't end. Everything's going somewhere. Even when you're dead, we may not know where you're going to go, but you're going to be going somewhere. So there are some steps, though, that you can now take on a practical level. We'll stop for a wee bit and have a bit of a song, and I'm going to go through those steps in a very practical way to show you some of the powerful things you can do if you've been diagnosed with cancer. So let's listen to a really nice song now that's sort of coming up to warmer weather. Let's listen to Mungo Jerry for a bit of fun.
See what you can find. If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Speed along the lane, you a town or a turn of 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it good and lay by. When I grab people, when I daddy, when I mean, we love everybody, but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go sailing. See, we're always happy, last we're living, yeah, that's our philosophy. Sing along with us, dee 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 dee, da 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 da, yeah, we're happy, da da da, dee da da dee da 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 da, da 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 da,
all right,
da 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 da.
So welcome back to The Medicine Man. We're talking about cancer today, basically. Something serious anyway. You've been diagnosed with something really serious, and what could be more serious than cancer? So in the mainstream world, you will be told by your doctor that this chemotherapy, this radiation, and this, you know, this pharmaceutical drugs and so on and so forth, and I'm not discounting that that may be useful in your cancer. It may or it may not. And this is the thing. One needs to take, you know, ask your doctor some really pertinent questions. What are the survival rates? Ask the doctor, what would he do if somebody in his family, so a loved one, had the same diagnosis? What would he do? That's a really good way to get some real straight talking from your doctor, because you'll be surprised how many of them may actually say, well, I wouldn't want any of my family to go through this particular treatment. Or they may say, yes, I certainly would. So that will give you some certain amount of confidence and know that you may well have some other choices. Now, when it comes to the world of nature, it's a little bit different, one could say, from a pharmaceutical type of treatment. You will be using chemotherapy, things that basically attack the cancer, that destroy cells. But the unfortunate part of that is they not only destroy cancer cells, they can actually destroy your own cells. So when you're looking at naturopathy or herbal medicine or acupuncture or something from the so-called alternative world, One and one doesn't actually make two. I know it sounds a bit absurd to say that, but one and one actually make three. It's called synergism. And it really, what synergism is it tells us that the combined efforts of certain factors yields more than what would have been expected. So if you're putting a really good diet together with, say, exercise, and you're using particular foods that are known to have anti-cancer and anti-inflammatory properties, one plus one doesn't equal two. It can actually equal 10 or more, because these things all work together to give you a powerful effect. So let's look at this. A few facts here. Your body needs at least 50 recognized essential nutrients, and plus a couple of hundred valuable nutrients that only be found in a wholesome diet, supplemented with the right nutrients. And we've talked about before about where we're deficient in selenium. Now, that's tied up with cancer. We're deficient in boron. We're deficient in iodine. Iron's essential for every cell in the body, including your immune system. And they need these trace elements to actually fight the cancer. So when you ask, is there a magic bullet for cancer? Is there a magic thing you can take? Is chemotherapy a magic bullet? No. Is surgery a magic bullet? No, it isn't. And is herbal medicine a magic bullet either? No, I'm not saying it is. But when you put those things together, okay, it's really, really an interesting thing when you get the synergy. It's just knowing what parts you're going to use to create the machine that you want to have happen. So what's the most important part of a car? Is it the motor? What is it? Is it the gearbox? Is it the steering wheel? Is it the front seat? You know, well, let's just say it's a motor, so I'll give you an engine and see if you can drive it home. So you've actually got to have all the elements together to beat it. So if we look at the All Blacks, you know, when the All Blacks win, as they often do, as you know, well, who won the game? Was it this player or that player? It's actually the whole team won the game because they knew how to coordinate. They had the training, they had the knowledge, they had the enthusiasm, and they had the commitment, and they had the balls, to say the least. And that's called synergy. Okay, synergy. So when you build a house, also you need the plan, and you need all the raw materials, and they need to arrive at the proper ratio. You need the plan and the proper time. And so how can you build a house without the nails? Say everything's there, but there's no nails. And nails are like minerals, trace elements, and other nutrients. And some of them in minute amounts, like the selenium and even the iodine. And there's manganese, and there's all sorts of things that we need, even tiny amounts. But without them, we cannot build the strong defensive body that you need to beat this thing. So minute amounts, but they're essential to hold things together in this particular time of your life. And so the important thing is to, first of all, get the right nutrients. And we don't have time to spell out the right nutrients, and it's the reason why I can't tell you it all right now. But one important thing that I must say, if this is the only thing, if you've been diagnosed with cancer, if this is the only thing you get out of this talk, is you can starve the cancer, because cancer loves sugar. Cancer's a sugar feeder, okay? Scientists call it obligate glucose metabolizer, which is, you know, basically it's just like sugar. Let's just call it what it is. Cancers love sugar. And you can actually slow the cancer growth by starving it of fuel. So trying to beat cancer while eating the diet that constantly raises blood glucose is like trying to put out a fire with kerosene. You're not going to be able to do it. So that's the number one thing that you must do, is cut out your sugar content. Be very, even with fruit, you've really got to be careful how much fruit you eat. So, but basically, stop eating sugar. Your cancer's not going to be happy as you begin to starve it, I can guarantee you that, okay? And make fish and colourful vegetables, lots of different coloured vegetables, because they've got some really cancer-fighting properties, especially in the different colours like red, orange, and vegetables. Okay, so make them the staple in your diet. 75 to 80% of your diet from now on should be vegetables. Okay, eat small amounts of fresh fruit. Will help to blunt the rise in blood sugar. Okay, and but here's the thing. I'm not going to be specific about your particular way of eating, apart from these few points. And number one is sugar, and number two is 75% should be vegetables. But there is going to be some common foods that you will be intolerant to, but you won't know. And what I'd like you to consider is to have a food detective done, so you can find out the things that your body resents, because you've got to get them out of the way too. We call that a food detective test, and we do it in the clinic here. And it's not too expensive, considering the value that it gives you the power in your hands to know. For example, I suffered migraines for 20 years and I didn't know that cashew nuts were giving me migraines, because I could eat cashew nuts one day, wouldn't be a problem, eat cashew nuts another day and I'd get a migraine, but I may not get the migraine on that day. It was 3 days later. So with allergies, you always know you've got allergies. You know, you eat something, you get a gut ache, or you eat something, you get a rash, or you get a headache within 40 minutes. That's called an allergy. But food intolerances are quite different. The things you've been used to eating, and a lot of it may actually be junk and pretty obviously junk. If you're going to be living on McDonald's while you've got cancer, forget it. Don't bother coming to see anybody, because we're not going to be able to help you. But you may actually be on what is considered a good diet, but you may in fact be intolerant to dairy products, for example. That's very common. Another one is eggs, nuts. There's some, you know, almonds. I've had people with intolerance and all sorts of things. So when you have food intolerances, the immune system has to deal with it. And when that will take your immune system away trying to deal with something when it could be attacking the cancers. So another thing you can do is add cinnamon regularly if you've got blood sugar issues, because cinnamon's a common spice that you can put on your food and it actually helps to stabilize your blood pressure. Your blood sugars. And the other thing is really important to take a mineral supplement. I've said that time and time again, that if you're trying to get well and you don't have full saturation of minerals, then cancer-fighting nutrients like vitamin A, you will not be able to use them correctly. The B vitamins, which are all important with digestion and nerves and all sorts of things. Vitamin E, basically vitamins, even the vitamin B complex, is really, really important for a huge number of metabolic processes. And if you don't have a full saturation of not just the minerals, but also those tiny little trace elements. So the other thing about cancer is it's actually a wasting disease. Isn't that interesting? It's over 40% of cancer patients die from malnutrition. 40% of cancer patients die from malnutrition. That's why I'm so big on the food that you eat, especially when you're unwell like this, because that's a fair percentage of people that die from cancer don't actually die from the cancer. Cancer generates chemicals that lowers your appetite while increases the need for calories, and that can often result in weight loss. But you cannot fight a life-threatening disease while you're malnourished. You just cannot do it. You need all the proper nutrition you can get to feed your immune system, which is your army that's assigned to killing the cancer cells. Yeah, get this. There are white blood cells in your body, and I see them on a daily basis when I do live blood analysis in my clinic, and I'm watching white blood cells, and I've seen some attacking bacteria, and I've seen them eating cancer cells. Isn't that astonishing that you could have, say, between three and 10,000 white blood cells in a single drop of blood, and they are the master regulators of your immune system. They organize attacks on invading microbes, inflammation, and cancers in any debris. So the white blood cells are cleaning up your blood, and there's a whole section of white blood cells that are designed specifically to kill cancers. So these white blood cells are a collection of intelligent enzymes that actually kill cancers. And the extraordinary thing is, this is where the power in your hands. There are certain foods that these white blood cells absolutely love, including herbal medicines that have been shown even in live blood to stimulate the T lymphocytes to attack cancers. And one of the herbs, of course, is echinacea. And there's been a lot of publicity about other herbs that do that, such as turmeric and garlic and onions, right? Avocados. There's all sorts of wonderful foods that are actually immune stimulating herbs. Isn't that astonishing? So no matter what you decide to do, is start looking into nutrition. Find out what your food intolerances are. Get used to finding out the best foods you can eat. But half to 75% of your diet should be in vegetables, and try to get them organically grown. And you can go off to the local markets and get organically grown food. Yes, you can pay a little bit more for it, and also get your own garden going. And even if you start, you know, soaking some bean sprouts and things like that, and getting some raw food. So while chemo and radiation kill cancer cells, they're also toxic to your own body cells. So a well-nourished cancer patient, right, can protect those healthy cells against the toxic effect of chemo and radiation. So no matter what you decide to do, make sure that your diet's good and you do learn about the certain foods that actually stimulate the immune system. And like I said, garlic and onions is pretty important. No sugar. There's a whole list of them. Perhaps next week we'll go into that list. So Now remember, one size, however, doesn't fit all, right? So some of you can eat dairy and perfectly well, but others can't. So again, I urge you to consider a food detective test. It's really important to be sure what you can or can't eat. But there are some solid facts, so here's some of them. Eat foods as close as possible in their natural state. You know, get them without being interfered with, without them broken up, burnt, cut and poisoned and preserved and all the rest of it and coloured. And eat as much colourful vegetables and your digestive system can help. So if you're starting to eat more raw food, for example, or just more vegetables and fruits, it's going to take a wee while for your gut flora to actually get balanced enough to handle it, so you start slowly and build up slowly. If you eat too much, you might get tummy aches or you might get diarrhea. So you just go slowly, and that's another thing. It's just do it slowly, but begin today, okay? And if a food will not rot or if it won't sprout, then throw it out. Right, if something sits there for ages and just doesn't rot, you can be sure they're chemical preservatives. Now, all chemical preservatives, petrochemicals, are all carcinogens. All carcinogens, there's no exception. And one of the nastiest carcinogens around, of course, is Roundup. And I see, that's been in the news too. Roundup, forget about it. Try to get foods that are chemical free. And when you go to the supermarket, go around the edge of the supermarket in the perimeter aisles and you'll find some absolutely wonderful things. You're going to find some bone broth and powder. You're going to find dairy-free stuff. You're going to find wheat-free stuff. You're going to find organic stuff. You're going to get really good organic olive oil and organic coconut oil, all good cancer fighters. And always remember that you've got health food shops and now they've been there forever. You know, Christchurch, when I was brought up, they only had one health food shop in the whole country, but boy, were they doing good work. And now there's health food shops everywhere and they have a great deal of knowledge. So please use your good, Health 2000, for example, just your local health food shop. Remember, they are the pioneers and they're not silly and they will help you also get on your way. And so that's about it for today. But remember, there's so much you can do. Power can be on your hands. And remember, despite all this, think about what you do have. Be optimistic and start reading about the power that you can have to complement either what your doctor wants to do, but make sure that you get the right knowledge so that the choice is in your hands, so the power can be in your hands too. But the least you can do is start cooking right, getting the right food in your tummies. Because remember, food is your best medicine, apart from love and having some fun and breathing and appreciating and all those good things. But I'm going to finish with this lovely song by Patty Austin about you can cook too. Okay? Bye-bye.
Right out of the brook, and what more?